The Symphony of Northwest Arkansas begins its second season this afternoon with the works of Wagner, Brahms, and Barber. Ozarks at Large's classical music enthusiast, Sophie Kidd, provides this in-depth listen to the violin concerto by Barber.
This afternoon, violinist Winona Fifield is performing the Barber's Violin Concerto with the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas. In the 20th century, there has been much diversity and multiplicity in the musical world. Tonal and rhythmic realms have been redefined by many composers. Some were concerned with preserving beauty in their oral landscapes, and some who deemed it an inessential part of the musical experience. Samuel Barber was a composer who continued the romantic tradition handed down to him, while adding to it aspects of contemporary musical culture. In all of his writing, Barber's highest musical aim was expression of emotion, and the variety of compositional techniques he employed were used to serve the expressive intent of the music. Emphasis on expression is a characteristic of the Romantic aesthetic, but it is the only Romantic characteristic Barber consistently implemented throughout his writing. Dealing goes into a new piece of music. That's especially true in the case of Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto. In 1939, industrialist and philanthropist Samuel Fels, who made a fortune selling soap, remember Fels and Naphtha? Commissioned Barber to write a concerto for his violin-playing protégé, Iso Briselli. The deal was for $1,000, half up front and the remainder upon completion. Briselli intended to premiere it with a Philadelphia orchestra. The composer gave him the first two movements, and Briselli was pleased. However, when the violinist received the third movement, he was disappointed, feeling that it was not substantial enough. So he suggested it be rewritten, but of course Barber declined. There are several stories about the circumstances surrounding the concerto's rejection. Personal letters of Barber and Fels dispel some of the myths that have appealed over the years about the concerto. Barber started working on the first two movements in Switzerland during the summer of 1939. It progressed slowly, but he hoped to complete it in the early fall to meet the October 1st deadline. His plans were interrupted, however, due to the impending war. All Americans were warned to leave Europe at the time. He chose to isolate himself at the Pocono Mountains in order to finish the piece. When he delivered the first two movements to Briselli in mid-October, which was later than he anticipated, Briselli showed a great enthusiasm. He believed they were beautiful and eagerly awaited the finale. He advised Barber to include more of the virtuosic side of the violin's capabilities in the third movement. Barber evidently took this really seriously and planned to provide a finale with ample opportunity to display the artist's technical powers. However, in mid-November, things began to go awry. Briselli showed the two completed movements to his violin coach in New York, who was critical of the work from a violinistic standpoint. Briselli did not agree. But his violin teacher took it upon himself to write a letter to Samuel Fels and explain why the violin part had to undergo a surgical operation by a specialist such as himself. He wrote in the letter, "The technical embellishments are very far from requirements of a modern violinist, and if Briselli performs the piece, it will harm his reputation." The teacher said he was rewriting the violin part to make it more acceptable, and that it was necessary that he, Briselli, and Barber get together for a special meeting to discuss his changes. However, there is no evidence that a meeting like that ever took place. He also added in the letter that it was indeed fortunate that the third movement, the most fast and vigorous movement, was not yet completed, as it must be written with the knowledge of the instrument. He will not succeed in doing this alone. Briselli was disappointed when he received the third movement from Barber in late November and felt it was too lightweight by comparison. He told Barber that it did not have a sense of belonging. It seemed musically unrelated to the first two movements, and he thought it was insufficient in compositional form or development to stand as the finale of a major work. He asked Barber if he would rewrite the finale. He suggested possible ways in which the movement could be deepened or expanded, perhaps, even changing its form altogether, such as a sonata rondo. Despite all that, Barber was dismissive of his suggestions and declined to alter it. But for whatever reason, this was a big disappointment for Briselli. He believed that with a substantial third movement, the work could stand as a great American violin concerto. From the time of its premiere in 1941 to the present, critics remained divided as to the finale's musical value and effectiveness. The finale, nevertheless, remained a four-minute perpetual motion movement. In August of 1940, Barber showed the work to American violinist Albert Spalding, who immediately agreed to perform the piece. The premiere was announced for February of 1941 with Spalding and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Although Briselli played the concerto privately for himself and friends, his ideas regarding the violin concerto's third movement never changed. The Concerto for Violin and Orchestra is known for the exquisite melodies of the first two movements and for the capriciousness and the technical requirements of the last movement. On first examination, there appears to be a striking division between the character of the beginning movements and the finale. The reason for this discrepancy lies, of course, in the circumstances of the work's commissioning. Samuel Barber's uncle wrote, "A sense of drama inheres in the unfolding scheme. This idea seems to best explain the progression of the movements in the concerto. It is as if the concerto was meant to tell a story. The first movement sets the stage, creating a warm, noble picture, introducing the characters and initiating the plot. In the second movement, an aria, the crisis, develops, and soul and meaning are revealed. And in the end, the third movement, in response to the tragedy of the second movement, is the catapult into action and has the character of a wild dance, which is building in intensity to its inevitable end."
And this reminder, if you're going to the Sona concert this afternoon at 2 o'clock, an hour before the first note is struck, I'll be sitting down with Paul Haas in Star Theater for a creative conversation.
Good deal.
All right.